Hey there, folks. It's the frequency from beyond space and time, at the same time, every time. You're listening to Mad Tower Radio.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? Welcome back to the 36th installment of Mad Tower Radio. I'm your host, Dan, joined by my wonderful co-hosts, Christian and Ryan.
Hello.
Sorry, I had to burp and it was coming out right as that little dead space. Sound like Joe Biden. Hello.
Well, we're sorry we missed you last week. It's Valentine's Day and yada yada yada. Excuses. But we're back behind the mic, you know, to deliver you tales of horror and cryptids, conspiracies, ghost schools, goblins, that thing under your bed, that thing in the closet that your mom won't tell you about. You know, just the usual standard fare. And how are you guys doing?
I've been doing okay. You know, like you're talking briefly before this, you know, I've just been kind of busy getting things done here in the Chai, and dealing with the wacky weather we've been having, where it's like 60 degrees one day and then it's snowstorming in like the next day.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought you guys were getting assaulted by the weather again.
Accosted on a yearly basis. This is happening on a yearly basis. I stay here. It needs to end.
You guys didn't perform enough sacrifices to Lake Michigan.
Hey,
you know?
Man. I'm ready to do it. I'm about to send out a whole party bus of frat kids and just sink that sumbitch out there.
I'll throw anything in there that they want.
Oh, man. That, like, sucks.
Yeah, dude. Especially after, like, 4th of July. Because they got all, like, the gunpowder from the fucking...
It becomes a cesspool, yeah, like a lava molten lake.
Yeah, you could feel it in your feet, like, all, like, the squishiness, because, like, all the gunpowder is still just floating in the water. It's great.
Well, all I know is that y'all better fucking, you know, y'all better get with it before the great spider ROM comes out.
I know.
Or you guys are pretty much fucked up there. But anyways, rolling into the topics of the show for y'all. Ryan has something real special for us.
Ooh.
All right. So I have been, when I haven't been busy recently, I've been playing a couple of games. And these games consist of Hunt Showdown, which is a really fun game, like an FPS, Phasmophobia, which I'm sure everyone who's listening to this podcast knows about, and this new one called Forewarned, and essentially it's Phasmophobia in Egypt. So I've been on kind of like an Egypt kick. There are no cryptids in Forewarned. There's just like straight up like ghosts and demons, but it got me thinking about Egypt. It got me thinking about cryptids in that area and during the time period of that great empire. So I was looking up what are some Egyptian cryptids. And I think the coolest one that I had found in my travels down the Nile was the Serpopard. And the name kind of gives away what it is. Serpent, pard, leopard, Serpopard.
I didn't even put that together.
Yeah, I was struggling.
You didn't see the big long snake neck?
I was sitting over here like, damn, that's a wacky name for a cat snake hybrid. And then you were like, serpent, leopard. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
It's all right there. The hieroglyphs said it. So, this is kind of a cool one just because it's a serpopard. And like you said, Dan, it is something that looks like an enemy that you'd fight in like the lost city of whatever.
Yeah, I said it looks like a Final Fantasy enemy.
The 14 Egypt dungeon. Yeah.
Yep, it looks like something you'd fight in there, along with Harry Crocodile. So essentially what this is kind of what it says. It's like this creature that has the body of a leopard, and really it's all leopard, except for the fact that it has this giant neck. And apparently...
Actually, mostly leopard.
Oh my god. How do you find these...
I just Google image Serpopard.
I didn't find that. You must be using Bing, because
I don't think that's gonna make the final cut of the video.
No, it's making it. You can't hide that from me.
It's going in. It's my favorite version of Serpopard. And so essentially, what this thing is that it's a leopard, and it has this giant serpent snake-like neck. And in some iterations, it even has the face of a snake, where it's like the body of a leopard and like a full serpent's like upper body, like head and like face, teeth, everything. It's all, that's all of a serpent. So it looks like a giant, like a snake, a big snake with a cat body. So apparently it stands at about 3 feet tall when it's standing at the shoulder. However, when the neck is fully extended, it can measure up to 20 feet long from the tip of its nose to the Ooh. Tip of its tufty little tail. And so the reason why, and another, like a reason why I thought this was so cool is because there's not a ton of information on it. And, you know, I was looking into like their, you know, like their mythology and their beliefs at the time. I was like, is this tied to any type of the gods or some type of afterlife entity?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like how Anubis had like his little buddy who would weigh your heart and he'd eat it if he didn't like you. You know, if he caught you stealing Robux.
Who's heavier than a feather, yeah.
Exactly. And my heart's way heavier than a feather because it's pumped full of carcinogens from eating lechon. You know what I'm saying?
All the MSG.
MSGs, I got a fat man's heart. it's full of all the love for the gods of Egypt, of course. but there is nothing like that here. So essentially where this creature kind of was first seen was in it was on something called a cosmetic palette. And a cosmetic palette is just like a fancy kind of thing that like nobles, Egyptian nobles would have. There are these archaeological artifacts that were used in pre-dynastic Egypt. So these things predate the Egyptian dynasties. Yeah, so they're really, really old. Like, I'm talking like past 1776.
Jeez. Super fucking.
Exactly. Because anything before the birth of America, dark ages. No.
Dark ages.
So they were made out of siltstone. There's a couple that were made out of something else. You know, they would have these, and they just kind of had, like, they were just decorated with different types of things. You know, kind of think like how, like, the Greeks would have, like, no, they would decorate their vases and things like that. But the Greeks were known to really kind of embellish how they drew things. Like, you know, oh, it's a dog. Oh, it's a giant dog. The Egyptians were not so much like that. The Egyptians were very detailed in what they drew. And especially when they, because they had such a respect for animals that, you know, their gods even looked like them in some cases, they were very descriptive in how they drew their animals, especially cats. Because cats were very respected and, like, you know, cats were dogs for Egyptians, you know, like they loved cats. So here's the thing. On a specific tablet, let me make sure I'm getting the right tablet name. It was called the Tablet of, one of the tablets found in, I'm going to mispronounce the name, so I'm going to say it. The modern name is Nekhen, I believe, but the ancient name is Hierakonpolis. Hierakonpolis? I'm trying to look at like the phonetic spelling of it. So, but on this specific cosmetic palette that was there, there was this picture of these, it wasn't just that one, but there was like, that was the large, the cosmetic palettes. There was these images of these leopards with these giant snake-like necks. So people were like, wait a minute. And archaeologists recently were like, you know what? The Egyptians were really respectful of how they portrayed things. Are these creatures, could they have existed? Are they, what are they? And so they kind of went down the same rabbit hole I went down of looking at, like, you know, some of their ancient texts to see if something popped up. Maybe, you know, like, so they could kind of glean why the Egyptians drew this. And they still don't know. So I'm going to post a picture right now of one of these cosmetic, a cylindrical cosmetic palette.
That's worse.
Exactly. And people thought that, like, oh, this is just like some type of weird thing that they're drawing. You know, it doesn't really mean anything. It's a mythical creature. But again, they always go back to the fact that the Egyptians were very, very very detailed in the creatures that they drew, and because they weren't and even like their gods were very detailed down to like the finest point. So
right
the thing is that no one has ever seen these things, and there, and I went, like, this took me down the Egyptian cryptid rabbit hole. I have some other stuff that I was looking at as well, because it's not just, you know, Egyptian. This is kind of like ancient Egyptian, Mesopotamia, like that area. There's a ton of these creatures. Like another one is like the man-eating the man-eating tree of Nubia.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, those are like...
That sounds sick.
Right? Like, they have some crazy, wacky stuff from back then. And it's so ancient that people believe that either if you're believing more of it that it was like an actual creature that existed, that perhaps it was hunted down to extinction prior to the dynasties of Egypt coming into power, where history was more accurately recorded. Or if they're thinking that it, some people believe that it was a more supernatural type of entity, something happened with their gods or the spirits and they just kind of ceased to exist on the world at the time. It kind of makes me, it's like a reverse almost, for those of you that are familiar with Berserk or maybe The Witcher, how like out of nowhere there's no magic, then something happens and now the world's full of magic and these creatures, kind of like something that happened like that, like some type of cataclysm, supernatural cataclysm took away all of these supernatural creatures that existed at the time and now they're gone. Some people think that maybe they were dinosaurs. They think that they are like, like a remnant, because they're these very desolate areas, because they even have those here. You know, we had talked about it, how some people think, like, you know, in the desert of Arizona, there's like velociraptors or thunderbirds or pterodactyls.
Yeah, there are.
Exactly. So if they're, there, how come the Egyptians can't have theirs? You know, like.
Have you seen that Twitter video of the dude where it's, the caption is just the oldest man in existence, and it's like some dude reacting to like a video of like dinosaurs, and it shows like the pterodactyl, and he's like, 60 million years ago? Nah, I swear I've seen that before.
Exactly.
The oldest man in existence. I want to look it up. That's, the oldest man.
That's just what Christian reminded me of. It was really funny.
But so people were thinking, like, well, you know, these areas are so desert-like, like literally a giant desert. You know, what could have existed out there at that time? What, you know, like there's records of ancient civilizations uncovering fossils. You know, we don't know how long, you know, what exactly, if these creatures existed, what was the climate that they needed to survive? When did they come into existence? Are they some form of like, right at the cusp of the dinosaurs going away, what's, you know, like saber-toothed tigers or on those things, who knows? But people don't really know what they are. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of like what someone thought.
So
yeah, go ahead.
I want to pose something to you. Are you familiar with Ancient Aliens?
Yes, dude.
At all? So a lot of those episodes, pretty much like every other episode of that show, they're trying to sling it that fucking Egyptian mythology was just a, like, for, like, that was a veiled metaphor for fucking
aliens.
So do you think that maybe you know, these things could have been like aliens,
like an extraterrestrial species brought to Earth by the entities that made the pyramids, kind of deal?
Sure, maybe they were intelligent or something, or I don't know. I think ancient aliens are hacks, but I mean
so do I. That's worth bringing up. I feel like they lost their integrity once they found out how much money the show was making. They're like, now anything, as long as we keep going, we can just make this go like, forever.
Exactly. Yeah.
Was MLK an alien?
It's like, we have to. This like, it just totally like off the wall stuff, but people eat that shit up. But you know, who knows, like that's the coolest part of like this podcast, especially when we're talking about like some of these ancient things, these ancient civilizations or these ancient cryptids. It's who the hell knows? Could there have been things that existed back then that weren't from our planet? Maybe something crashed down in the meteor. And I was thinking about like when we were talking about that meteor that hit in, you know, Lake Vostok or whatever. Who knows, you know, in another reality.
Some crazy thing.
Yeah, if something was in there. You know, so it's only, there's so many different types of like conspiracy theories / like, you know, like I don't even know how to describe it, but like theories of things existing that we don't see now, like the Hollow Earth theory, Agartha. There's like, you know, who knows, maybe these things lived underground and the ones that the Egyptians saw were ones that kind of somehow migrated up and got lost. Maybe they still do exist down in the depths of the earth, if the earth is hollow like that. It is. I've been there. No, I'm just kidding. But
I saw the movie with the Rock in it.
Yeah, I saw the Rock. Well, there was one with Jack Black and Michael Cera. It was great. No,
they wouldn't lie.
But you know, like I think they did a really cool job of doing the Hollow Earth theory with the new King Kong versus Godzilla movie. If you guys haven't seen that, have you guys seen it?
My preferred interpretation.
Yeah, exactly, with the giant flying snakes. Tell me a leopard would not like be out of place there. Like that's like what it seemed like. But then again, to answer your question, Dan, who knows? I think it'd be really cool if it was. I think that the ancient aliens theory is some, like, as wacky and kind of memed on as it is, the Egyptians were known for being, again, extremely detailed in the keepings of their history and the things that they encountered. They're one of the most advanced civilizations at the time. So if they saw something and they drew it or they created it, well, something must have looked just like that. That's kind of where the same thing goes with this cryptid. If they drew it like that, something must have existed like that.
I mean, like,
yeah, I mean, as wacky as Ancient Aliens is, I can't disprove it.
Exactly. We need to have them on the show.
I draw the line at the Ancient Alien guy. He's not coming on.
What about Ramtha?
Ramtha can come on.
Yeah, Ramtha can absolutely come on.
Ramtha's a grifter.
That's okay.
Exactly.
So are we.
Oh my god.
Listen, not just any Ramtha. Young Ramtha.
I think we gotta make money to be grifters.
Exactly. When does it start?
Listen, I'm telling you, bro, young Ramtha could come on.
Yeah, right?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, for all of you who are listening, go take a look at young Ramtha. Young Ramtha can come on the show at any time.
If I could like move it away from the fun section and take a little like anthropological look. You know, you compared this creature a lot to like a Greek construction, and we all know the Greeks were dastardly fucking liars back in the day. And
many people are saying this.
They would just make up these fantastical fusion beasts, but also derive them from a misunderstanding in the world that they saw, like the elephant skull became the Cyclops type thing. I'm wondering maybe if like Egyptians saw a giraffe skeleton and they were like, what the fuck is that? And they tried to understand it in their cat context and it came out something like this.
I could totally see that.
Yeah, but that's not fun.
Yeah.
Or also, I've got another fun one. It could be a loner creature from the Mesopotamian religions. Let me show you this picture of Musashu or Musushu. He's the long dragon.
Oh, dude, long dragon.
Yeah, you just sort of scramble him up a bit, and that's your own thing.
I had to go with long dragon. Dang. More than a giraffe.
Christian always comes in with the straight facts.
He does that. That's how we keep him around, because you and I, Dan, we're cracked.
I don't care. You can just tell me anything. You can tell me anything, and I'll believe you.
Those were my two maybe suggestions. Well, or it could be an alien meteor creature. Well, no, that's cool too.
Well, no, like I could totally understand that, but I guess it would have to, the way that it would make sense is, at least to me, is giraffes have some long ass legs too, so where do the legs
that's
go?
That's true. Some these are kind of stubbies.
Exactly. So maybe long dragon bit the giraffe legs off.
Ryan, I was really really worried that you got like fucking pranked into doing a part on a fucking D&D monster or like a magic card, and
that
was like
ripped. I'd love.
I was
that.
Like, oh no.
Oh, imagine how fun that
was. I just went straight to the image tabs, and it was like, oh yeah, Pathfinder stats for Serpo Bard. Oh yeah, magic card, prowling Serpo Bard, or giant fucking tiger centipede. And I was like, did Ryan get fucking pranked?
Oh, we're doing fantasy monsters now, because I'm in,
bro. I thought of that happened to me with that Australian one, the Straya. Like I was looking at, I was like, because there's so little written about it, but I found like some actual like articles, but like I had to like dig for those. I was like, did I just get this guy make this shit up for the
game? I'm gonna get on here and just start talking about Tereskus and just pretend like they're real.
I was like, today we're talking about the Ascians. Were they real? Did they exist?
They were real. I saw them. The single other thing it reminded me of, you were talking a lot about like it being found in these nobleman plaques.
Yeah.
It seems like maybe someone could have like adopted it as like a family crest or like a clan sigil or something like that.
That'd be kind of cool. I never thought of it that way. Kind of like how some like ancient knight houses had like a dragon on theirs or some type of like
unicorn. The Welsh are like, we're dragons. And this dude was like, I'm a snake giraffe. Cat.
This is the ancient ancestor of the guy that made DeviantArt, actually. He's like, mine's the Serpo Bard.
His OC. Exactly. My OC.
It's true.
Oh, I hate that one. What the fuck?
That's my favorite one, actually.
So I looked up Serpo Bard art and then went to the shopping tab, and it is
not disappointing.
Does he have a toothbrush up there in the top right?
It's like his beard, or is that a tooth? Oh, it is a toothbrush.
Like a toothbrush in a bowl.
He's got to brush his teeth.
My man. Okay, so we all know that now Serpo Bard, it's canon that they are all with the hygiene, and I like that. And that's why he's my favorite cryptid. That's why I vote for him.
So you keep saying cryptid. Are there any like modern sightings of a serpopod?
Yeah, giraffe.
Or
we've all seen them. Come on.
Any like Nukes Top 5 videos or chills or some Egyptian dude is just yelling at a serpopod?
I looked up serpopod sightings and there weren't any. That's why a lot of people believe that perhaps they went extinct or were hunted to extinction if they existed at the time. Because you know, I'm about the moment that I start making this GameStop bank, I'm going to Egypt and I'm hunting for serpopods.
I'm gonna find him.
Yeah, I'll find the one that's left. I'll be like, I finally found you. Then he uses his serpopod neck to reach out and bite my head off.
Dude, white dudes poking around in fucking ancient Egyptian history. What could go wrong?
Exactly. I hope nothing wacky and characteristic happens to me as the scarabs enter my body.
Did you guys ever see that shitty found footage movie Pyramid?
Yes,
like
I did.
They unearthed a like three-sided pyramid. They're like, oh, triangular pyramid, and like everybody was freaking out.
I remember that, yeah, and like it ended up being that like the bad guy was the good god Anubis.
Yeah, the bad guy was Anubis, and this was like his fucking prison or some shit. I was like, what is happening?
That's kind of sick. I'm into that.
It was bad.
It was very bad.
It's one of those movies that, like, I definitely watch it again, but don't watch it with me because I'll clown on it the entire time I'm watching it. I remember that movie. There was a blind kid in it.
Now, there is a good movie. There is a very good movie about a white dude poking around in ancient Egyptian history, and that is The Mummy with Brendan Fraser.
Oh, man. We stand Brendan Fraser on this show.
Don't play.
I love Brendan
Fraser. The Mummy was great.
Bro, The Mummy. They showed me The Mummy in fourth grade. Fourth grade for our Egypt unit.
Really? Dude?
Yes.
Oh, and his jaw comes out and the like demons come out of his mouth? Yeah.
And I'm there in Lutheran school.
You guys are forgetting about the much more horrifying part of that movie, the scarabs.
Yeah, when they, like, that first one that eats that.
Just start burrowing under their skin. I'm like, what the fuck,
yes,
dude?
And they were showing that to us. They showed us that. They showed us Schindler's List. They showed us Glory. What?
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah,
I was
scared
of history for a bit.
Sorry about that. We had a train moment. More specifically, I had a train moment. Because there's a train that drives by my house at random fucking intervals, and this dude just lays on his fucking horn.
Gotta make sure no one gets pasted by it.
Oh, that's what those red lights and guard signs are there
for. Bro, people are dumb. Straight up.
If I could bring it back around, y'all know The Mummy had PS2 graphics and was not scary.
Yeah, but for fourth grader...
Scary. But it was fucking awesome.
The scarabs looked like crusty JPEGs coming out.
Okay. Then I raise your trashing of The Mummy with Scorpion King.
Talk about the movie Scorpion King or when the Scorpion King showed up looking like a PS2 avatar?
Do both.
Yeah, you...
That dude.
That was the first time I saw a crossover, or like an extended universe in my fucking life. I was like, whoa, Scorpion King!
It's The Rock! What did they do to my boy?
This ain't The Rock.
That's Stone.
I was like, that's the fucking, the melted candle wax museum.
Came out clipping his hands. He's like, click, 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 click. They couldn't even get The Rock to come back. And that's before he was all big and famous.
So lay it down for me, like... Half of these pictures have the serpopod with scales, and half of them have him with fur. Which one has got, or which one do you prefer?
So I think they said that he had
half
fur.
Of them,
okay.
Half of them got the serpopod depicted as their fursona.
Yeah, like there's a good mix.
I'd just be finding fucking all sorts of furry art whenever I Google equipped an alarming amount.
I mean... You know, they got to get their OCs from something. Why not desecrate the cryptid community, you know?
And, you know, with that being said, I think I'm ready to talk about the next cryptid if you don't have any more closing thoughts, right?
No, that's it. Serpopod tot. Let's go.
Simple as.
Christian, let's hear it.
Okay.
I'm going to judge your guys' cryptids in a fashion contest before I move on to my segment.
That's fine.
So now your cryptids are competing.
If they're competing, I think mine has the advantage because today I'm bringing you the Loveland Frog Man.
I've been waiting for this. I'm excited.
And
I do like frogs.
I do like men.
The only logical conclusion. to bring them together today. This is coming at you from Ohio.
Ugh.
Bro.
Excuse me? Are we good?
I Google image searched him. This looks like the soup time frog.
Soup time.
I love it. The soup time frog, bro. My God.
Put in an image of the soup time frog with this dude right next to
it. Timestamp for me, bro. Soup time. So
looks like a whole goddamn battle total.
He got caught, bro.
So, like I said, he's hailing from Loveland, Ohio. That is in the southwest corner, like by the Kentucky border.
Okay.
And the first sighting of this wonderful little lad comes in May of 1955. We have a businessman, it doesn't tell me what business he's in, is just driving down the road of this suburb, investigating, going to his next sale, I don't know what the fuck. And he reports seeing, under a bridge, three little froggy freaks in a corner, like huddled under and like having a little convocation. They're having a little chat. They're like 3 foot little frog dudes. And one of them had a magic wand that was shooting sparks
out. No way.
Little Poro Rogo frog wizards that this man saw. And they smelled of alfalfa and almond.
How? Wait a minute.
God, bro.
How the heck so did he know?
He smelled them.
What the hell's going on in Ohio, man?
Did he like stop and go out and go under the bridge to like check it out?
It just says he was traveling, and it's by Cincinnati, maybe going into the city, and he just reports this very odd sighting and moves on with his life. He's just like, I saw some fucking frogs under the bridge. They were looking real big, and one of them had a wizard staff.
Anyways,
how'd I go?
You gotta make it all the way to Chicago and pedal these vacuum
cleaners. You wanna buy a suck vag?
This is the extended non-released scenes from Death of a Salesman.
Jesus Christ, bro. So, after this weird encounter, maybe they didn't want to buy anything from him, but the trace goes cold on the frogman for about 15 to 20 years. It's just, the story is a seed that is allowed to grow for some time. And our next encounter with the Loveland Frogman comes in March of 1972. And this is where the meat and potatoes come.
Okay.
Officer Ray Shockey.
What the fuck kind of name is that?
That sounds like he's driving prank call name.
By the old boot factory. At 1 a.m. around Loveland. And by this time, there's the story of the Loveland Frogmen are out. People in the area at least know the name and know that there is some weird big frog things that may or may not be wizards. And
okay.
He's driving by the boot factory, which is near the river, and he reports a leathery 4-foot-ish creature walks across the street into his headlights. He notes that it doesn't have a tail, and it kind of hobbles over the guardrail and runs over into the river.
Oh my God.
And he's like, that's fucked. Why is this big frog beast like walking just right past me like nothing matters or like it's no big deal? And he spreads that story to his I don't know what you call it, like a unit, his team, his
squad.
Precinct. Yeah. So he regiment. Puts this story out to the precinct, and everyone's on frog fucking mania. Everyone's looking out for that little freaker because he's back in town.
Everyone's like, we're going to get him.
It's keep an extra shot in your fucking gun because the frogger's out.
Why? Why is the first instinct to fucking kill like the frog?
Like the frog has done nothing up to this point.
He cast a spell.
All he did was cross the road, and they're like, rack 'em and stack 'em, boys.
Kill that frog.
So,
oh my god.
The next reported incident with the frogmen comes 2 weeks later by another fake-sounding named officer, Mark Matthews.
Not Mark Matthews.
Is reportedly in one of the back roads brought out to clean up it's like
frog guts.
It's road carcasses. Like, do police officers have to go and clean up road debris? Like, if there's like a deer or something?
Wouldn't that, I feel like that'd be like more like the Department of like
the Park Rangers shit. Like the
Park Rangers or something. They wouldn't send a fucking cop out there to do it.
Well, who knows?
Either way, this man's out there. He got the shit end of the job. He's out at 1 a.m. and like pulling deer guts off the road. He says that the Loveland frogman walks past him again and he opens fire on that bitch.
Oh my god.
Airs that bitch out right on the frogman, wastes no time. And this is where the story diverges. There's two paths here. One, in the choose your own frog adventure, the frog is killed, identified as a large lost iguana whose tail was lost, like being out in the wild, and the story ends. This is the story that he goes on to tell people. He had an interview in 2001 that said it was a big iguana. Yes, I shot it on sight. I wasted no time to protect the citizens.
Yes, I fucking capped his ass.
I killed a house pet. I did. For my country, for my people.
But this interview is, mind you, in 2001. That's like 30 years after the incident. So people have taken to discrediting the man, maybe saying that he lied or he's covering up the frogman's escape and that he just like told his friends about it to seem
cool. He's in league with the frogman?
Oh, shit.
Covering for him?
Maybe he wanted more street cred in the precinct and he's like, yeah, I killed the frog. Come check out this iguana that I also shot to be the carcass.
I also killed.
And the other divergent path is that the frog was able to evade this officer, that he still got shot at, but his wizard powers protected him, and he got away.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm going to go with.
He casted mage armor.
All right. Exactly. Oak flush.
And he deflected the bullet.
Oh, my God.
So by then, the frogman story grows because this guy, I believe he brought the carcass or brought a carcass to the like fellow officers and he's like, see, here's the frogman, it's a lizard, he's got no tail, what is it? And that just sort of ramped up this like the cultural power of the Loveland frogman, and he became such like a regional, you know, local hero. Exactly. Uh-huh. Now mind you, Loveland was not even like a town until 1961. That shit was like a legal village.
Yeah.
So this must have been the hoppin' shit, if you'll pardon the pun.
Shut up.
How's Loveland doing now?
Gone.
Let's pull it up.
Destroyed.
Yeah, you...
Jamie, pull it up on the map.
Pull up the frogman.
Richard, get frogman on the phone, please.
It's still a village. It's like less than 1,500 people, I believe.
Did you say less than 15 people?
Oh, yeah, dude. Somebody told me. Oh, I mean, they're right outside Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's a little burb.
Oh, okay. But in 1961, you know, I'd probably be pretty fucking stoked about that, too.
The story still has a grip on the local population. I'm going to give you a little story now, coming to us from August in 2016. Now, if y'all could both take part in a memory exercise with me, can you remember what magical time was the summer of 2016? Maybe what extremely popular phone game
Pokemon
was
Go.
All the rage?
Pokemon Go.
We call that the summer of harmony.
Pokemon Go. I missed out on the hype. I had a fucking three times used iPhone 4 that literally died in like 5 minutes, so I could only use it to like actually make calls and send texts. I couldn't just play games on my phone.
You couldn't run the Go?
I couldn't run Pokemon Go with my fucking fried ass iPhone 4.
In that summer of peace and Pokemon Go, there were two teens who went out to Lake Isabella near Loveland to go catch some Pokemon by the water. And they reported a large frog-like beast standing on its two legs coming out of the water.
My man.
No way, dude.
They spotted the frogmen once again. and the story began to kick off just like the old days. But it was later reported that it was a high school student in a frog suit having a little joke.
I don't know. This looks pretty fucked.
But the question to me is...
The picture of the sighting?
Oh, you've got some pics?
How he get his eyes like that? Look.
That's the one. That's the Loveland Frogman from the Pokemon Go fiasco.
My God. I would have probably shit my pants. Not gonna lie.
Kooky part to me is, right, if you listen to the whole story, you know cops are opening fire on these frogs. If you're going to climb out of the lake...
That's still department policy. Exactly.
You love if you read the handbook...
You air it out on him.
Fucking annihilate him.
Like, who's scaring people, like, disturbing the peace in a place where it's on site for big frogs?
Teens are dumb, though. Teens are dumb. They'll do that.
Check this one out. What about this picture of the Loveland frog?
That's a pig walking.
That's a dog on 2 feet.
I don't know. This is the picture that it has listed on the Cryptids Wiki for the Loveland Frogman.
That must be real.
Must be real.
The most interesting part about it to me is the first man spoke about his like magical abilities. He's just some shitty frog to everybody else.
Perhaps the wizard one doesn't show himself as much.
Yeah, maybe these are his lackeys.
Maybe he was high on Alfredo sauce and decided to walk out that day.
It was Alfalfa.
Whoever it was. He was my least favorite of the Rugrats. But
yeah, you know, Frogman that we should kill on sight. Okay. Wizard Frogman. Yeah, you've been on the road too long, yeah. Buddy.
That's just like a hair shy of unbelievable.
Yeah, Frogman though? Oh, get him. Get his ass.
The only other like fun tidbit for the Loveland Frogman is like there's this horrible like 2005 website that I found, and it's like a kid dressing up as a frog like terrorizing the town. He's like jumping on shit and like causing a ruckus. He's like, "It's me, I'm the Frogman," and like some kid's blogging like he's in person interacting with the beast. It was a good time.
They're gonna shoot his ass.
So this dude's got cultural clout even today.
My man.
Do you like this picture that I sent of like the night vision camera recording a doorway? And that's supposedly the frogman in the back?
That's him. Like, I was the just frogman.
Like, he's like leaning out, or he's mid jump. He's like leaping to the other side of the kitchen.
Is he like Supermaning, or is he like bent over at the waist?
Yeah, right. Is he just really long legs? Him and Sepple part
the one right
long.
Above it that's got that absolutely fucking shredded frog man.
Yeah, dude, you wouldn't fuck like with him. I'd shoot him too if I saw him on site. That dog would beat.
He'd shoot you.
I was gonna say that dog looks like a stand. That looks like a JoJo stand.
Yeah, dude, that frog man, that guy would beat the shit out of me. I could take a bullet too if I looked like that.
Okay, these who would win, photos? That frog man or goat man?
That's a tough one. But let's bring it back to the competition at hand.
Yeah, who's got better fashion? Yeah.
Serpopard versus Frogman. So, I'm going to say that Serpopard wins in a contest of might, okay?
Yeah.
Frogman's not going home if he encounters the fucking Serpopard. That thing's going to shred him. Okay. Right? But Frogman, he wins overall. He's got so much style, dude. He's a wizard.
Well, it's also we don't know that. I'm saying we don't know that. No.
It's unconfirmed.
He could have just had a fucking sprinkler in his hand or a sparkler. No, what's it called? I was going to say, if he is a wizard and frogs, you know, they have them powerful legs, who's to say that the Serpopard would be able to react in time? What type of magic does this frog know?
He's a dragoon and a mage.
Oh, God, he's multi-classing run.
And also, you know, Frogman, he kept up with the trends, dude. He got in on the Pokemon Go. Yeah. You know, this man has laid eyes on an automobile. He's gotten shot at.
He's lived a life.
He's versatile.
Like, I think Frogman takes the dub.
I think so, too. And I bought Serpopard, and I think Frogman still wins.
There, like, is a repressed memory coming out of me, like, seeing these pictures of the Frogman. Do y'all recall in the, I believe it was the Rugrats movie where they get, like, lost in the woods and the dad is, like, becomes a forest demon with, like, the cloak. He He looks exactly like some of these photos I'm seeing of the Frogman, and it's making me feel really weird.
No, like, I don't know
his light eyes, like, they had similar, like, crazy light eyes.
Well, I mean, I wish I could keep it going with a third funny, wacky cryptid, but unfortunately I'm going to rein it back into the realm of reality.
Boo.
And this has been a long time coming. People have been asking, Dan, when are you going to talk about this? When are you going to do a segment on the Holy Lance, a.k.a. the Spear of Destiny, a.k.a. the Lance of Longinus, and I'm here to tell you that wait is over. Okay? Zach, this one's for you, buddy. Okay? Now, what do you guys know about the Lance of Longinus?
Ryan?
Many things.
You're a good Catholic, right? Let's hear it.
The Lance of Longinus was reportedly, I was born shortly after the incident happened, essentially it's the lance that when Jesus was crucified, it was the lance that one of the Roman soldiers used to stab him in the side to make sure he was dead. It was also the spear that apparently Hitler tried to find to win World War II.
Exactly.
So, yes, that is
you're a good Catholic.
The tale of the Lance of Longinus. So, if you didn't know, Longinus is actually the name of the soldier that stabbed him.
Was it? Oh. Okay.
Good fact.
Yes, and this was never mentioned in the Bible. This was instead mentioned in the Gospel of Nicodemus, which was deemed an apocrypha by the Catholic Church. So it is only through that that we know his name was supposedly Longinus, right? And Longinus is described as the first Christian, actually, because in the Gospel of Nicodemus, you get a little more story about Longinus, right?
Yeah.
And apparently, Longinus was like, you know, he was a good soldier who fucking fought really hard and, like, he got injured pretty bad, but not injured enough to kick him out, so he served in more
campaigns.
He served in more, like, I don't know, not combat shit.
No.
So he was like, you know, they were like, ah, fucking. They were like, hey, Longinus, make sure he's dead.
This one's on you, buddy. Take a hit.
So Longinus, he had really bad eyesight due to his time in the Roman Legion. And supposedly when he stabbed Jesus Christ in the side, the blood of Christ got on his face and he could see again.
Badass. That's beast.
Like his eyesight was 20/20 after that. Right?
Yeah.
And apparently he was so taken aback by this, so shocked, so surprised that he exclaimed on the spot, Jesus is the Son of God. And so, a lot of people consider him the first Christian. And he is actually a saint in Roman Catholic saintology. I don't know.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Longinus is a saint, bro.
All the good stuff comes from, like, the
apocryphas.
The expansion packs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Bible expansion packs.
Exactly.
Oh, he has a feast.
The Bible Endwalker.
March 15th, we getting a feast for Longinus in
yes,
a month?
Sir. Yes, sir, dude.
Live stream is all eating in the name of Longinus?
Uh-huh. So, yeah, I mean, I thought that was fucking cool. I mean, the most I knew was that his name was Longinus. I didn't know that he, like, you know, repented as soon as he fucking stabbed Jesus Christ in the side. And
yeah, that seems like a bold time to switch sides.
I was like, yo. I was like, that's fucking wild.
Yeah, seeing as they just killed the guy in front of him.
Yeah, it was really nuts, man. And so, so for a long time, this was really just regarded as an artifact, you know, like as something of historical significance that we should hang on to. Like, you know, we need to keep this. This is really fucking significant.
Right? Sure. Yeah.
And there are four of them today that are currently claimed to be the Lance of Longinus. And there is one in the St. Peter's Basilica. that the Catholic Church has, but they claim no authenticity to the lance. They're like, yeah, I mean, this is the one that we have. We don't know if it's the real one or what, but
cowards.
You know, this is, they are cowards, dude. They're cowards, bro. Like, why don't you want to embrace the cool fucking parts of Christianity, man?
Yeah, maybe you'd get the kids hip if you brought the demons and the magical artifacts back.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Relic weapons?
They're like, no, we just want to be milquetoast. Yeah.
And it's just like a regular old, like, Roman spear, right? It's not something crazy, or was it made with, like, a asteroid metal or anything?
Oh, no, this thing got tricked the fuck out.
Oh?
Yeah, dude. This thing looks fucking sick. This is the one in St. Peter's. Right. All that really remains of it is the head of the spear.
Sure. Being wood and all, sure.
It's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
But supposedly, that nail in the shaft is one of the nails that held Jesus to the cross.
Really?
Of course it is, bro. Of course.
Yes. Yes. So, it's fucking nuts, dude.
The Catholic faith went through this really weird, like, saint thing in, like, the Dark Ages and, like, early Renaissance, where they're like, if I get the knuckle bone of St. Peter, like, I'm going to pass it along through my family, and it's going to give us good luck. And so they made all these weird trinkets. Of course, everyone had a fucking nail from the cross. And if you went to the Holy Land, they'd sell them out at the gift shop.
Oh, yeah.
It rules.
Sure, sure. Everybody, like, so, well, first let me tell you about the rest of them, right? There's one in Vienna that is claimed to be the real one. Now, there is another one in Vaharshapat. I hope I'm saying that right. That is the religious capital of Armenia.
Mm.
And then there is another one claimed to be real in Antioch, or what was formerly known as Antioch, Antakya, Turkey. So, there's four contenders, but I mean, who knows which one's the real one.
Which one looks the coolest, and which one radiates a golden, holy, yeah, buffed aura.
Yeah, right. Which one is the plus +5 to, exactly, my attack and damage? So the next historical account about the lance comes in 1098. During the Crusades, a French pilgrim or peasant, just drifter, claimed that the lance presided in Antioch, and he told this to the leaders of the First Crusade and was able to convince a few of them. And the military leaders of this First Crusade told this to the boys, and that's ultimately what rallied them to a victory in Antioch, was that, like, we're gonna get the fucking Holy Lance if we win, boys. Let's get them.
Okay. Whatever it takes.
Yeah. And then they did not find the Holy Lance. And they were like, well, what the fuck? But the reason that there's so many of the Holy Lance is because this thing passed hands so many times, because every Holy Roman Emperor wanted to move the lance to where he was born, or move the lance to the city from which he ruled.
Mm-hmm.
Some dude cut off a sliver of the original lance and then made another one with it, and, like, just absolutely fucking destroying this fucking holy artifact. That fucking gold wrapping on it, I don't remember what fucking numbnuts did it, but some douchebag was just like, I'm gonna put a gold wrap on it because it looks fucking cooler, dude.
And to be fair, it does look cooler. It
truly does. That's
it. Does look really fucking cool.
Can't fault the man on that.
Cannot fault the man, you know. So it's really hard to follow the story of the Holy Lance, but just know that every fucking king probably had it. People were using it in, like, knighting ceremonies. They were like, hey, yo, I want you to coronate me with the Holy Lance, bro.
Absolutely. Anything you can do for extra piety clout. Yeah.
Extra cred. Extra cred. Yeah. So it wasn't until more modern times that it started to gain the moniker of the Spear of Destiny. which I imagine is what a lot of younger people know it as. That's what I know it as, is the Spear of Destiny. But Lance of Longinus just sounds 10 times fucking cooler, so I have called it the Lance of Longinus ever since I learned of that one.
I mean, I have a small definitional, like, quandary now. A lance and a spear are sort of similar, but two different functions. So which one are we working with here?
Who knows, man?
like a lance is like a cavalry stick that you're holding and like charging with. A spear is like lighter, you're used by a footman, you know, like there's definitional things we're working with.
I mean, I don't know, dude.
Whatever. I'm just
a fucking clue about this anymore. Anyways, so it started to gain a more cult following in the early 1900s, and there were stories about it being connected to other Christian artifacts like the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy Grail, and that, like, if you had this, you could foresee the outcomes of, you could see pretty much the future, I guess.
Hmm. Rad.
Yeah, and that whoever had the spear would be able to guide them, or like guide America, not America, would be able to guide the world to like their vision.
America,
I guess.
The world, same.
Yeah, yeah. It became the fascination of a one Adolf Hitler.
Who talked
about it. He called, so they called all these artifacts together the Imperial Regalia. And I don't know why, but that sounds cool as fuck. You know?
No. Sure.
And so Hitler wanted the thing, the Spear of Destiny, that's what it's called. And after the war, he did have it. Like, he actually did have it, you know?
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
He found something that he could call it? Or, like, was it the Austrian one, I presume?
He had one of them.
Okay.
One of the imitators. Who knows? Because nobody knows which one the real one is. And it was actually found next to him. Not next to him, but it was actually found in the bunker that he killed himself in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then it came into the hands of the U.S. Army, who then returned it to the Vatican. And I believe the one that they have, that gold foil one, is the one that Hitler had.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's very, very crazy, right?
Yeah.
And now, after the war, everybody was like, time to get in on the grift. And this is where more of those crazy stories come from, of people talking. They're like, oh yeah, you know why Hitler wanted the fucking... You know why Hitler wanted the Spear of Destiny? Because it could, like, fucking shoot a laser. It would, like, turn him into a fucking dragoon, and he could do a fucking backflip and shit like
fucking,
that. Like,
ulti off the map and die? Nice.
That raps.
Yeah, this dude, Trevor Ravenscroft, wrote a book about... the book is called The Spear of Destiny, and he talks about, like, the occult powers behind the spear and all that crazy shit, and just all sorts of wild stuff about the thing. And then this other guy, this retired Colonel Howard A. Buchner and Captain Wilhelm Bernhardt, they wrote a book together. Captain Bernhardt was actually a U-boat officer who recovered the Holy Lance from Antarctica.
What?
Oh, what was it doing over there?
I don't know, and I'm not going to pay fucking $30 to find out.
There you go.
So fuck you, Colonel Howard and Captain Wilhelm Bernhardt.
Company policy.
But pretty much everybody was trying to get in on the grift after that story of the Holy Lance and Hitler. And now it's just kind of, you know, a really, really cool story. But I mean, that's pretty much it for the Lance of Longinus. It's just, you know, it's a cool story. very, very cool artifact that I wanted to talk about. Coolest part to me was finding out about Longinus's history. It's very cool.
Name Longinus, or like, I mean, you'd always known him from like the spear myth, but it sounded so familiar for some reason. I did like the world's quickest Google. I remembered him from this vampire tabletop book, right?
Yeah.
What?
And it said that fucking the blood of Jesus cursed him with vampirism.
Oh shit.
And that was like the origin of the that vampire tabletop games like lore.
That's pretty fucking hardcore, actually.
That kind of reminds me of Masquerade Bloodlines, where Cain is the first vampire.
Yeah, yeah. They, like, Catholic Church, if you're listening to this podcast, Francis, if you're in, lean more into that. Your mysticism is pretty rad.
Oh, yes. The more Christian mysticism. Okay?
We need release the expansions. I want to hear all the secret apocrypha. I want Judas's text. I want all the Gnostic shit out.
So, Christian, I've just sent a picture of the Armenian Holy Lance.
Yes.
And then, since you're an ancient military history chud, which of these looks more authentic to a Roman foot soldier's spear/lance?
Bro, I don't got the archaeology degree. What am I comparing these shits to? The which ones?
Which one do you think looks more authentic to a Roman foot soldier, the spear that a Roman foot soldier would have?
All right, if I'm looking at the Armenian one, and I'm looking at the like the one that's got gold tinfoil on it.
Yeah.
I mean, the Armenian one looks like less like a stabbing instrument. It kind of looks like a spatula.
Yeah, you know, but it's also from like the 4th century.
No, I think they're both griffs, but... I mean, this might be a dumb question, but where was Jesus crucified? Was it in Israel?
Golgotha.
That is not a dumb question, because I don't know.
He was crucified on a hill called Golgotha, right outside
Jerusalem. Where's Golgotha? Oh, it was in Jerusalem.
I think so. Where was Jesus crucified?
Like, they didn't take him to Rome for court? Goes.
They Which did take him Aramaic to court.
It means place of the skull.
Yeah, the hill of skulls.
That's kick-ass.
Yeah, essentially they didn't take it. They took him to court first, and they beat the shit out of him, and then they said...
Brought him back?
Yeah, so essentially what they did is they beat the shit out of him, then they bought him in front of, like, essentially the arena, and Pontius Pilate said, okay. So I heard you guys don't like this king of Jews, yeah? So he's like, I'll give you this. He's like, you can either... I'll either free Barabbas, who was a murderer that like killed babies and shit, or I'll free Jesus. Which ones do you want? And they said, kill Jesus. And then they took him up to Golgotha and killed him.
Fuck.
Yep.
Actually, gentlemen, the real place where Jesus was crucified was apparently St. Martinville, Louisiana. I hit the maps tab.
Oh, you're right.
When I Googled where was Jesus crucified, Golgotha. And it comes up with Community of Jesus Crucified in St. Martinville, Louisiana. So. There you have it.
Mad Tower visit?
Mad Tower road trip to Golgotha?
I'm not going there. Staring you can't get from me. There.
You scared you're going to run into a serpo part?
Bro, if I ran into a serpo part, I would immediately either try and tame it and befriend it, or pee and die. Which holy lance are you? Find out on the BuzzFeed quiz.
Tag yourself.
You know, they got that mega blocks lens.
No, I guess they don't. I guess they don't be posting pictures of it.
That's like, what's it called? Like those people, is it in Africa? They have the Ark of the Covenant and they have Moses' staff and the Ten Commandments inside of it.
Moses' staff and fireball.
Dang, dude. The one from Skyrim?
I was thinking of that one exactly, actually. Like, I pictured that, like, curvy one at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had, like, there's some other, like, biblical, like, wild stories like that, where, like someone said that they found Noah's Ark up in, like, one of the, up in, like, the mountains of Sinai, Mount Sinai. I know a Mount Sinai. Did you know that?
Dude, I thought that was real when I was a kid. I was like, holy shit.
The flood? Or the Ark?
No, they find the Ark. They just show me, like, these blurry pictures of a mountainside, and they're like, that's Noah's Ark. And I'm like, no way.
I actually read a really cool creepypasta regarding that, where like they found Noah's Ark, and it was like the size of a city, but it was like essentially in like Antarctica. And like, but it wasn't like the Neo, it wasn't like the Judaic Noah's Ark. It was like a like Mesopotamian spin on it. Because apparently there is like a Mesopotamian story like that.
Fucking rad.
And it's like, they go inside and like essentially the guide, Noah was actually a man that, he was so good at like, he was such an amazing potter and he could make things that the gods at the time said, hey, well, we're going to leave you to repopulate the earth with your creations that you make, like the new animals. But he was really cocky, so one of the gods put doubt in his mind, so he created all these like misshapen monsters and he didn't know what to do with them and he just went crazy. So they go inside to try and find, they, you know, they uncover Noah's Ark and they're exploring it, and all like these like clay creatures start coming out, like these misshapen like dogs and things come out that the guy had created in his madness, and the whole ark is full of them and they gotta escape. It was really cool.
See, when you were laying that out for me, I thought the gods were like, okay, Noah, repopulate the earth. Fires. Fuck this lion.
Fuck this lion.
Serpopods.
Exactly. I thought you were bringing me back to the serpopod.
Make them mate, Minecraft style.
See, once again, Francis, thank you for subbing, but like, I'm talking more about Christianity right now than I have in my entire life. Yeah. Like, this is the shit that gets us going.
Right, we're all pogged out for like the crazy dark side of the Bible. Like,
if Francis comes out on the podium one day and he's like, if 10,000 new kids convert and come to the church, I will pull out the spear.
Dang.
I'll show it to all of you.
If 10,000 kids convert by the end of the year, I will release the Apocryphon of John.
Dang, we're going to give out one text per like $1 million raised.
I'd be out there, bro, prophesying, evangelicizing. I want to see that spear. You know I'll make my quota of kids to
for the sacred text.
Yeah, for the sacred text so that I can go see the spear.
I will beat the shit out of some Protestants.
Let's do it. I want the Bible expansion pack, and no one's getting in my way of it.
That's the problem with Protestantism. They don't have DLC. They have in like 10,000 individual releases. Like, you got to play this one by itself.
Got to get the Japanese only release.
Exactly. I'm proud of y'all. We made it the whole Spear of Destiny, Lance of Longinus episode without talking about Evangelion.
Oh, no. I was gonna summon Richard if somebody fucking brought up Evangelion.
I knew you were like guarding it. You were like holding me back, but I gotta say, it's a sick spear. That's pretty cool.
No, it's not a fucking red bident or anything like that.
It's so cool.
Listen, man.
Dude.
Can we close out the episode playing Cruel Angel's Thesis?
Sure. If Christian feels like editing that, I don't give a shit.
I'll edit in my like piano version I did.
Oh, hell yeah. I can sing over it.
Well, that's all I got, and I think that's what the rest of these jabronis got for you this week. We'll be back to regular schedule. Shouldn't be missing a week. So, yeah, if you want to get in touch with the Mad Tower Radio, share with us your ghost stories, your cryptid encounters, or your conspiracies, go ahead and hit us up at supermadtower@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Mad Tower Radio. Shoot us a message, comment on this video, and yeah, that's pretty much all I got for you guys. Boys, any closing thoughts?
I love you.
All right, well, this has been Mad Tower Radio, ending transmission.
A frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tower Radio.
Every day, me and Dom would be like, let's play Scorpion King. We would just run around the yard with sticks. Yeah, this was like 2 years ago.